WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
We've been wanting to have Mickey Z back on the show for some time now. He's just such a busy guy, we haven't been able to make it happen. Fortunately, he's a generous guy, too. He gave me permission to read an article. It was originally published on WorldNewsTrust.com, the site that's defining the new mainstream and online news and opinion. This is titled, The Latest Generation Wages War on Terror. And it's part of an excellent series that Mickey's been writing. This one was published on June 11th, my mother's 97th birthday. Not that that has anything at all to do with the article. He leads off with a quote from Noam Chomsky. Everyone's worried about stopping terrorism. Well, there's really an easy way. Stop participating in it. After 9/11, the 1% launched a perpetual war on terror. And you know what? Maybe a war on terror is precisely what we need. Now, I'm not declaring public allegiance to the current jihad against the tactics, which is really a war against terror not perpetrated by the United States or its ally. Instead, I'm thinking of another meaning entirely. Author Don Lutz has written that terror is what one feels when being kidnapped or raped. He goes on to list other terrifying examples. Terror is what poor people worldwide feel when approached by uniformed, armed men. What animals feel in research laboratories. What people feel when their families are faced with starvation, what a child feels when an adult starts to hit, what millions of families feel when they hear planes overhead, what fish feel when hooked in the mouth, what people feel under threat of having loved ones tortured or killed, what forest dwellers feel when the loggers come in to clear cut, what people feel when they're threatened with invasion, what animals feel at slaughterhouses. This variety of terror is genuine and endemic and serves as a hidden foundation of our dominant culture. We don't need shady law enforcement stings, unconstitutional wiretapping, or panic-inducing color-coded warnings that conveniently pop up at the most politically expedient intervals. To stop this terror, we need an entirely new vision of what is possible. As a result of deeply conditioned denial, many Americans reflexively defend their country's rampant illegalities because they're taught to perceive these actions as falling under the seductive justification of defending our way of life. However, if our way of life is so sacred, so ideal, so worthy of being defended by any means necessary, why do we need so many homeless shelters, alcohol and drug rehab centers, rape crisis hotlines, battered women's shelters, and suicide hotlines? Why does a sexual assault occur every 2.5 minutes? Why can't we drink the water or breathe the air without the risk of becoming ill from corporate-produced toxins? If America is the world's shining light, why are its citizens left with no choice but to organize in a desperate attempt to protect human, environmental, civil, and animal rights? If America is the zenith of human social order, why does our vaunted way of life provoke terror as a tactic and an emotion? Mic check. Our way of life makes us the real terrorists. Whether we want to admit it or not, our beloved way of life was built on a nearly exterminated indigenous population, the African slave trade, and all those killed in places like Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Southeast Asia, Central America, the Middle East, etc., etc., etc. Our way of life was built on stolen land with stolen oil. Our way of life was built on terror and is maintained by terror, e.g. cops, prisons, military, and corporate propaganda. For an example of such invisible terror, look back to the Good War. In early 1945, U.S. General Curtis LeMay and his 21st Bomber Command laid siege on the poorer areas of Japan's large city. On March 9th and 10th, the target was Tokyo, where tightly packed wooden buildings took the brunt of 1,665 tons of incendiary bombs. By design, the attack area was 87% residential. By May 1945, LeMay's campaign had killed an estimated 672,000 Japanese civilians. An aide to MacArthur called the raids one of the most ruthless and barbaric killings of non-combatants in all history. Secretary of War Henry Stimson worried the United States would get the reputation for outdoing Hitler in atrocity. LeMay himself said, "I suppose if I had lost the war, I would have been tried as a war criminal. Fortunately, I was on the winning side." The men that devised and carried out this attack are generally considered to be part of this country's greatest generation. Yet by any sane definition, what I just detailed is terrorism. Mic check. There's an alternative to terrorism. It's called justice. But to seek justice, we must first recognize injustice, even if we play a direct or indirect role. To do that, we have to open our eyes and then take action. To do that, we have to maintain what Gramsci called the pessimism of the intellect and the optimism of the will. To do that, we have to become aware of ourselves as potential agents of collective social change. to do that, we have to remember that the few successful movements in this country's history prevailed in part because they utilized tactics that were outside of what was permitted at the time. To do that, we must do away with bullshit like the greatest generation and get busy being the latest generation. And to do that, we must stop acting like we're the last generation. To do that, we must heed these simple words from Kathy Kelly. Most of the time, if you treat people right, you don't have to be afraid of them. To do that, we must occupy. Thanks for those thoughts to Mickey Z. And now my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hey, wait, guys. We're getting something here at the station. All North American radio stations are being asked to... Wait, I'm losing it. Okay, well, just go on, Mike, and I'll let you know.
Okay, well, yeah. Anyway, tonight we welcome Janet Heller, a professor from Michigan. She's been on the show before, and Ava Bird from Berkeley, a poet who has been on the show many times. Okay, let's roll. It's not possible to understand the world by looking up at the line of TVs on the front wall of the strip mall exercise room with all the elliptical machines and stationary bicycles. As Alice says, it would be nice if something would make sense for a change. And that is possible, but not by watching TV while you ride a bicycle. There are things you will need to pay attention to that may at first seem as silly as trying to fit your fat 50-year-old butt down a rabbit hole. But if you do, you will learn about things. And if you learn about things, most people will tell you that you are entirely bonkers. But I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are. Perhaps what is hopeful is that the fight is on, that there are fighters on our side, that there is an our side for us to be on in this crazy, boorish United States of America. And it may sound like 1960s hippie crap to say it, but as is turning out, the hippies of the 60s were our actual greatest generations. So I just like to say, let's just do the best we can today and every day and keep on keeping on. And here's something you will not hear from the line of televisions above the elliptical machines and the weights and the power drink vending machine, but it is one of those things you can study and wonder about that might make things make sense for once. Why doesn't the government reopen the Kennedy case? Why doesn't the government admit there was a massive cover-up? Why doesn't it admit the Warren Commission was selling a fairy tale and that the House Committee on Assassination sold a revised version of the same fairy tale? I think the reason the government doesn't take action and hides behind a wall of silence today is because the whole subject is so radioactive that to get involved, there would be nothing but risk, blame, and exposure. If any president of the United States, if you put yourself in their shoes, politicians, senators, congressmen, any chief executive, as soon as they say anything about the Kennedy assassination, that would indicate they don't agree with the official version. It would raise a massive uproar, and people would then say, how can you say that? That's unpatriotic. Are you accusing this government of being involved in a coup? Are you accusing the government of covering up? And by the way, what are you going to do about it? I think that everyone hides behind a wall of silence, quite frankly, out of cowardice. The cover-up of this assassination that was implemented in the 1960s by guilty men and by people who knew they were telling lies. But from the mid-1970s on, the cover-up has been perpetuated by cowards. And that's been true since 1978. It's really tragic. People in this country don't need to be protected from the truth. We've had three assassinations in the 60s. Nobody believes the official stories on King, RFK, or JFK. We've had Vietnam. We've had Watergate. We've had Iran-Contra. We had the lies about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We don't need to be protected from the truth. We can handle the truth. If we can learn the truth, we can move forward with confidence and try to prevent those things from happening again. You're not ever going to find anyone in the U.S. government who wants to do anything with this case again. In South Africa, we had truth commissions, and people told the truth after apartheid was over. And at least people came to understand their own history a little better. They can't tell the truth here because nobody would pay their taxes. Nobody would care about the military budget anymore, and everyone will get thrown out of office. We have a government that changes hands on the surface every 4 years, and every 2 years, and every 6 years, but which in reality isn't that much different from the previous one, and is still pursuing the same macro interests at the expense of the needs of people. In the long run, we would be better for it. We would be a more mature country and more understanding country and better able to safeguard ourselves in the future if we knew exactly what went down in 63 and in 68. And if the government would fess up to it, we could examine it and study it in detail, we would be much better off in the long run, because then we could move forward confidently and try to prevent such abuses in the future. Only in that way can we recover our respect as a people and move forward much wiser and more confident about where we should be heading in the future. And that long quote is from Douglas Horn, H-O-R-N-E. Well, folks, there is actually a they out there, and there actually is a you and a me, and we constitute a we. They, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and company, want us to be afraid. As they told us in the anthrax letters in 2001, we can do this, we, but we cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Special bulletin coming in. We are being instructed to interrupt the program to read this special bulletin. There have been explosions detected on the surface of Mars. All meteorological bureaus have asked to keep an eye on the strange occurrence. That's it for now. Back to you guys, Chuck. You guys there?
Oh, hey, Len. Yeah, we're here. Thanks for that. Huh. Okay, then. Hi, I'm Barack Obama. How far we've come. They shot Martin Luther King Jr. on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis because he was going to lead a poor people's march to Washington and get the streets fixed in Detroit. He was getting that close to changing America. That's why things had to go down like they did, man. Let's be reasonable. We're all intelligent people here. You see what's going on, the cultural realities, the signs. They'll kill me too if I don't do what they say. I don't want to die. I'll do whatever they say. I'll say whatever I'm told. My children are young. They shouldn't die. You're not much older or younger than your children, right? Osama bin Laden has been buried at sea. 9/11 attacks were perpetrated by 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters. See how far we've come? It's all good. When I smile and I wave, that's our little signal. Just do what I say, and really, nobody will get hurt. We'll stay on the same page, take it to the next level. Keep on keeping on. It's all good. Vote for me, Obama Biden 2012, for hope for change.
Well, we now have further report regarding the fiery, bubbly lava life. Like maybe witches' cauldrons or something, you think. Anyway, explosions are reported on the surface of Mars, and they're being reported by the mainstream media. We're now receiving scattered reports of around the United States. Wait, there's something coming in from Grover's Mill, New Jersey. It seems that there are giant Russians some really big ones. 10-foot criminal terrorist. And here's the last portion is garbled. It's big bees. That's all I've got for now.
God bless the Grand Canyon. God bless Mount Rushmore and Grandpa and Grandma and Mom and Dad and Sally and Johnny. God bless the dead Iraqi kids and the dead Afghanistan kids and dead kids everywhere. God bless the Golden Gate Bridge and the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty. God bless Rover and Mr. Fluffles and Dixie and Miss Thompson, too. And God bless our soldiers and troops and bombs and bullets and ships and really big bombs and our president, too. And I'm pretty sure our president would kill anyone who could really keep him from staying in his big white house. So God bless me, and God bless you, too. Now I'd like to welcome our first guest. Our first guest is Janet Heller. Janet has been with us before. She is an instructor at Western Michigan University, and she wrote a book that was honored in 2006 called How the Moon Regained Her Shape, and I hear she's written another book, and we'd like to talk to her about it. Janet, are you there?
We're having some trouble. Some of these lines are bogging down due to the solar flares, but I believe we have our guest on the line now.
There's all kinds of strange occurrences happening. I don't know. You can see some of this stuff in the night sky here up in Duluth, too. I don't know what's going on. Janet, this is Mike. How are you doing?
Pretty well.
Okay. Well, I introduced you, and I hear you have a new book, and I'd like to hear about your new book. Could you tell us about it?
It's called Folk Concert Changing Times. And it has most of my best poetry written from the 1970s to the present. It's about the journey of becoming a woman during difficult times. I talk about themes like feminism, love relationships, college teaching, nature, psychotherapy, travel, the anti-Vietnam War movement, family, and the life of an artist and music.
And when is it? Has it been published yet?
Yes, it was just published in late May by an Afro literary press.
I'm going to ask you to read a few poems out of that, but first, could you tell us again the title of it and where people can go to find the book?
Okay, it's called Folk Concert Changing Times. It's available most easily at Amazon, but you can also get it wherever you get books. It's available to order.
Okay, great. Do you have a few poems from that book that you could read for us? Would that be all right?
Yes. I thought I'd start with one called Getting My Mouth Washed Out. My paternal grandmother loved me a lot and spent a lot of time with me when I was a kid, but she had a quick temper. This poem is about conflict between us, which set a pattern for my future interactions with authority figures. So this is Getting My Mouth Washed Out. Once my grandmother got very angry when I argued with her. I was a 5-year-old who did not know her place. So she told me to open my mouth, and then she put a bar of soap inside. 46 years later, I still remember that awful taste. But I didn't stop arguing with her or anyone else. I've argued with teachers, parents, rabbis, politicians, and bosses if they try to limit my freedom or curtail other people's rights. I've lived long enough to see some reforms. So here's my advice to other rebellious kids. If someone threatens you with a bar of soap, keep talking so fast that no one can ever wedge a stopper in your mouth. I also thought I'd read this poem. It's about an experience I had a long time ago when I was a summer camper in northern Wisconsin. It's called Skinny Dipping, July 1960. 10 sixth grade girls camp overnight on the shores of Lake Pokagama with two counselors. After an open fire cookout and cleanup, we decide to take a twilight swim in the dark waters. Miles from civilization, we strip naked and, whispering, enter the still lake. I've never swum without clothes before, and welcome the sensation of cool water on my arms and legs and breasts and flowing like lava between my thighs. Then the last poem I want to read, we have an Olympics coming up, and this is about an Olympics that I sort of saw in my backyard in 1996. It's called Nature's Olympics. Swimmers churn Atlanta pools, runners streak down dusty tracks, and gymnasts tumble and fly through the air. While the Olympic torch burns overhead, thousands cheer their countrymen. Here in Michigan, loons paddle near Isle Royale and laugh like banshees before they dive and disappear in the evening mist. Chipmunks dash across our yard to capture seeds, stuffing their cheeks, then scamper toward their burrows. Goldfinches balance on sunflowers, chickadees dart from food to swaying trees, and hummingbirds fly backwards, landing on Titonia like acrobats. So those are the three poems that I wanted to read for you.
Thank you very much. Janet, are you still at Western Michigan University?
I got laid off from teaching there after I organized the union.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a story. What happened? They just how did they do it?
It's a long story, but I taught there for 11 years. By the time I got laid off, I organized a union of untenured faculty, and I don't think the administration was very happy about that. So they laid me off after the union was successfully organized. But the union is still strong, and it's gaining membership. So I'd do it all over again if I had the chance.
Well, maybe that's going to be the next book. Is that right or not? Or are you going to have a poem about that coming up in an upcoming book?
Well, I certainly
want to
write
an
essay about that and maybe some poems. I need a little bit more distance, I think, before I can write poems about it. But I have published some essays about the exploitation of faculty at many colleges and universities.
Could you tell us once more the title and where people go to get the book?
The book is called Folk Concert Changing Times, and it's available most easily through Amazon, but it's also available wherever you wish to purchase a book.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you'll have time to come back on the show again in not too long. Thank you very much, Janet.
Thanks for inviting me.
You betcha. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Okay, guys, there's more coming in over the wires here. It seems that the military, corporations, secret societies, and the double secret government agencies have now been asked to take control of the airwaves because of the gravity of this situation. We now have Colonel Double Major speaking to us from Grover's Mills.
Where are the military? Is that a village of children? Where's the napalm? I don't want any gay people around me when I'm killing women and kids. I just don't want to see it. We'd also like to add marijuana smokers to the previous list as mentioned on this broadcast. And marijuana smokers, also from Mars, landing everywhere. Please use duct tape. Build some prisons. Bulldoze the schools. Await further instructions. Dan Hutt!
The mind of an American rules the world. The president, Warren Buffett, Tiger Woods, Katie Couric, John Stewart, the Michelin Man. No, stupid, it's you. You are king of the world, God, Superman, King Midas, all that. It's you. You are more than just a legend in your own mind. You are the man. And when the CIA, through the CIA propaganda machine called Radio Free Europe or the American Free Press, tells you the Russians are coming or the criminals are coming or terrorists or the Iranians or Iraqis or Afghans on nuclear-powered blue donkeys or big bees, and you believe it? Well then, Zeke, that's how the world will go. You are powerful, the most powerful Yahoo who has ever lived in the history of living. And you are an idiot, and the world is going to burn. Maybe you are not an idiot on purpose, but an idiot nonetheless. The CIA, the persons in the CIA are smart. They are evil, the actual evil empire, and they control you, the most powerful person in the world. If you were not an idiot, they could not do that, but you are an idiot. That's too bad.
The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Russian menace. Patrice Lumumba must die. Jacobo Arbenz must die. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. Mossadegh must go. El Salvador. Italian workers, peasants. Greek socialists. Nicaraguan peasants. Grenada, Philippines, Vietnam, Laos, Argentina. All threats to the American way of life. Eating Doritos and watching TV in the dark with a cushy pillow. They're out there. They're dangerous. Workers, self-government, health care, roads, no police, no military. The fish is not aware of the water. The American is not aware of the TV, the propaganda, the lies. I'm happy to welcome back Ava Berg, who is was one of our very first guests and has joined us a few times. We always enjoy listening to poems, and I understand she has a new one for us. Ava, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. It's always nice to be on the show. I always look forward to it, and I remember with fondness the very first show. And yeah. It's nice to see you guys growing and that you're still here. So I have written a new poem. It's called Let's Call the Police, and it's a satire about the police state, but it's not really funny. I wish it were more funny, but... I'll read it. It's a couple of minutes, about 4 minutes long, and it's almost like a tsunami, so it's not for the meek. So you might want to put on your goggles. But should I go right into it?
Yes, please, go for it.
Okay. All right. So it's called Let's Call the Police. Let's call the police and tell them there's an emergency here. See, there's a constitution being raped and shredded, and too many dicks in one place creates destruction beyond belief, license to kill for thrills, the sacred feminine in religion, and bombs on Mother Earth. Just ask Israel, Japan, and the U.S. to call the police and say, hey, help, help, help. There's a gang of rogue, psychopathic criminals suffocating ladies and babies with vaccines, tricks tricking kids on pills and bad television reception. The reality show is right outside your window, Jack, with nukes and bombs and wombs screaming, 911, help, police, Republican Democrats sucking blood from tampons, spitting out ovaries to create God on a rocket poison milk, bovine jet fuel hormones, puking pink slime. Let's call the police and tell them their pensions are looted and robbed for Wall Street balls and thugs and bulls slitting throats with pills and white coats. Phony bloated hedgehog funds factory farms spilling blood burger puddles and methane oil gas farting out foul the name of a lord. Let's call the police and tell them there's pink slime dripping a police state with kill cops covering corners, kicking homeless from parks and streets, and no occupying anywhere or anything. Just be an obedient sheeple and let the police state roam into your bedroom and yell, National Defense Authorization Bill is just another prickly-dickly tactic to torture in the name of your trusted thuggery Congress, Senate, pimped police state. Your Bill of Rights is billed to your Verizon wire. Your Bill of Rights is billed to your Verizon spy wire, tapping witches for womb control and prick-shaped rockets to kill for a few rich dicks. Help, police! There's an evil demon lurking in spray cans. Monsanto the Satan, Frankenfood filling shelves on chain stores and prison cages, locking everyone for nothing in the name of profit. As pseudo-prophets spew brass plates to collect for a molester, covering up pedophiles worshipped in a Pennsylvania state locker room. Balls and bars lock down blacks. But free Mumia, it's all a setup anyway for the cops to enforce the fascist corporate state. But he's just doing his job. Police chief, we keep calling and calling. They never show up. Those bastards in black and blue just keep beating the blacks and bitches for reporting abuse to animals and veterans and cannibals, running elections and fake vote counts, sneak phony presidents and house niggers just following orders on slave plantations known as corporate rape gangsters robbing another red blood reservation. Help Geronimo, prisons, cows, concentration camps. Help police, the militant military killing rivers and waters and oceans with nuclear pesticides, insecticides to reverse mortgages through Banks of America to fuck the weak and meek, women with slave wages on heels and steroids. Is there compassion for cops? I mean, it must suck being a cocksucker sucking off the patriarchy and his hard-ons for killing wars and whores and bombs on grannies. Dear Grandma, you always told me to call the police when life is in danger, and damn, things couldn't be stranger in fiction, even with criminal corporations posing as a government and a person, dressed up fag hags, cocksuckers for wars and God, and oh my goddess, where are the police? Where are the laws to protect the police from sold-out souls, hungry ghosts with guns and warrants to kidnap? Please call the police about our rights being stolen by thieves and thugs, criminals and gangsters in suits. And hey, gigolo, get out that little black book and dial up 911. Tell them 9/11 was a lie and you're being robbed blind and you can't breathe clean air, poison water coming out through the pipes, dirty diapers leaking shit laced with Cymbalta Paxil cyanide. Oh, baby, hand me those wipes. I can't seem to get the oxygen clean. See, we should have listened to the Indians. Broken treaties, rape teepees, poison wells, and genocide again. Operator, get the police here ASAP. Please, get the police on the line. Holy fascist police state, Batman. Get that Wonder Woman in here. The cops won't help. Please, we must all call the police. Help, police. There's an emergency here in my hood. I can't get through. But poison control and the phone book says it best. If this is an emergency, hang up now and dial 911. So that's the end.
Wow. That,
I mean, I know it's not
that
funny,
was quite
but
something. I thank you so
like
much for reading
deep
it
and I
sharing
spit it out.
Me.
And the ugly reality is that that's the reality now.
Oh, I know it. It really hit home. So much of that, it's just real.
Yeah, I know. I'm dizzy too. It was like I gave birth to it. I carried it around for a couple of months, and then I finally got it out, and it came flowing out pretty quickly, and I'm sure there's a lot of things I could add. I tried to get most of the things in there that were most of the emergency issues, and of course I'm sure that there's a lot left to be said, but I don't want people to pass out just from a poem.
Well, I hope you'll send me the text to it so I can post it on our website with the show.
I sure will. I hope you'll do that.
Yes. I haven't been doing it as much, but I'm trying to start doing that more. I'm trying to take care of the website and let people know what we do, when we're not on the air.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can also send it around to my list also and post it up.
Great.
This one is one that, I mean, I know I even had... I had trouble writing it because you have to go to all these dark places, but that's what they're hoping is that we can't face the darkness, and that we go shopping and we take our pain pills and our sleeping pills and we just pretend it's not happening. But that's why I really felt like it was a responsibility to write this and to put it out there. And so if you can put it up, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I would be proud to put it up.
All right.
What have you been doing, Ava? Have you been doing some personal appearances out there? You're back
happening in the San Francisco Bay Area. I have produced a couple of shows and have performed in some poetry events in the Bay Area, and I've got some more coming up. I got one in San Francisco on July 5th. It's called Free Spirits Roam, and we're featuring an artist named Leah Lubin, and we're going to have a lot of poetry and music, and it'll be it's in North Beach of San Francisco, right where a lot of the history making was done with Lenny Bruce and a lot of the greats passed through that neighborhood and called it home. So there's a lot of really powerful energy going through there for creativity and poetry. So I'm hoping to keep that heart beating.
Well, that sounds great. I wish I were a little closer. I'd like to see some of that. But I'm on the opposite coast.
You know?
Well, I'm always somewhat overwhelmed when I listen to your poetry, Ava. It's just really packs a punch. And I thank you so much for being with us from the beginning and coming back. And, we will want to have you back again before too long.
Sure. It's always a pleasure. I always look forward to being on the show, and I always like what you guys do. And I know you work in the same vein that I do, which is you look at reality, but then you also present it with some humor so that it's a little easier to swallow. And that's always appreciative, and it makes for a much more, I guess, real battle to confront. That if you have some humor, that it kind of takes the edge off. And I always appreciate that you have that, and you and Mike always do a good job of that. And I try to do that also in my poetry, because you know, how else can we really deal with all the stuff that's going on totally losing our mind?
Humor not only takes off the edge, but helps things get under our skin a little bit more.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that you guys are still doing your show.
Go ahead.
And I hope you enjoyed my friend Bill Mitchell. He's quite a political commentator, and he's out there doing what you guys are doing, and the internet shows are good, and it's a way to get past the corporate media and to fly in under the radar, and hopefully to see you guys grow even more.
Okay. Well, you want to remind our listeners where they can find you online, and then we're going to have to call it a night.
Sure. You can find me at ohmpoem.com, and I have a couple of books out, and I'm working on a couple more books, and I'm working on a CD also. So when my CD's done, I'll send it to you, and you could always feel free to play anything anytime. And so again, it's www.ohmpoem.com. I've got shows listed up there, and my
can,
books.
Can you spell
and,
that? Own poem?
It's OMPOEM. So ohmpoem.com. And my beautiful website was done none other than Chuck Gregory, the New American Dream.
Well, thank you. I'm glad
well,
you
appreciate your work.
Like it.
And you know, let's keep in touch. It's always my pleasure to be on the show, and I'll hopefully have some new material written, and be happy to share it with you and your great audience.
Well, thank you so much, Ava, and have a good night.
You too. We'll keep in touch. I'm always tuning in.
All right.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
I have to interrupt the broadcast here. Ladies and gentlemen, Grover's Mills is no more. We have reports, scattered and dismal as they may be, that Russians, big ones, terrorists, swarthy and crafty criminals, marijuana smokers, and big bees now control the city. Public Access Community Channel for Grover's Mills is reportedly showing only a naked photo of Maria Sharapova hitting tennis balls against a green concrete wall, and martial music by Nikola Mayakovsky. If you want to try to get the link to that station, give us a call. We'll try to help you out. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
The moon. We went there and never went back. Makes sense. The same thing happened with the big discovery of the car and the airplane in Hawaii and Las Vegas. And no problem in getting back from the surface of the moon to the main spaceship thing, right? And the technology? You mean we could do that in the 60s when computers were as big as rooms and there was no such thing as personal computers and the internet and we never went back? And hey, wait, let go of me. Hey, where's your warrant? There's a beverage here, man. I have my rights. Freaking hall monitors. They think they own the stupid school. In that press conference, wow, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, they should have been like, man, we are so excited to just get back from the moon. We'd never tested that moon landing thing and then the takeoff from the moon and then the hookup with the orbiter thing, because how could you practice that? And it all worked like a charm. I'm going to live, and I've been to the moon. But they were like, we are so depressed and so shy. And did we see stars or not? Yes, no, yes, I don't know. It's like almost like they were hiding something. Goddamn fascists.
Take it to the beach. Summer reading list, American Zeitgeist. What can you take with you from your busy life or just one chance at some time alone to really soak it all in? Sun, the news, really catch up on all that stuff. So when you come back to the office, you'll be an even better you, tan and informed and ready to just be a better American, thinner, better parent, spouse, employee, a better person overall. Yeah, something with some pop and excitement. Current events. Just a good read. Well, there's something, I guess. Power Principle by Scott Noble. Series of three free movies you can find on YouTube. But then you wouldn't be able to, after that. How about 50 Shades of Vampire Blood? The Boy with the New Brighton Tattoo. The new self-help book by that guy. Six Superheroes Who Saved Sacramento. You'll be watching television after you listen to this radio program. This radio program is brought to you by just us. Tonight's television programming will be brought to you by the CIA, the United States Army, the United States Navy, and the FBI. Ain't no thing. Just saying.
Just an FYI that link to Grover's Mills, New Jersey, Publix Access Channel is no longer available to non-subscribers, so everyone can please stop texting the station. Back to the show with Chuck and Mike.
Well, it's been another long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. It's getting warmer, which is not particularly good news for Charlie Johnson. He likes the cold and remembers when his son used to ask him what was the windshield temperature when they were both having their Quaker oats at the table in the kitchen. Charlie likes those 20 below heroic temperatures. Zero is for wimps, and above zero is for punks. At least that was his old tune. Maybe today he sings another song. Nobody's seen him much. He doesn't go down to coffee as much as he did when he was a sports reporter at the Wednesday Miracle. Then after he retired, he ran for city council, and he got on. About the last thing he did was push hard for his Rock'em Sock'em Ronald Reagan ordinance, whereby the local council would act globally by sending a proposal to the White House and the United Nations that whenever world leaders wanted to go to war, they had to go fist fight the leader of the other country they wanted to invade. Charlie thought it was a good idea, and he didn't think Reagan or Clinton or the George Bushes or Barack Obama would step into the ring with anyone, let alone another man. Now Charlie writes letters to the editor, and they print some of them. He says what he thinks, which means he's pretty much dead in his town, his hometown, the only town he's ever lived in, besides that one winter in Rapid City. He watched the NBA Finals by himself the other evening. He had a plate of crackers and cut a guacamole thing, whatever, in half and just dipped out of both halves, and then a bottle of Guinness Stout with a frosted jelly glass that he had set in the fridge freezer the night before. He ended up only being able to drink about half of the jelly glass. He had forgotten how strong that dark beer was. He put the pregame on mute and just watched between his fingers with his hands over his face as they spread out the giant flag and honored America by honoring killing and pretty much ruined it all before it even got started. Later, everyone complained about the girl who sang the national anthem, but nobody mentioned the killing. Well, anyway, Charlie is not much of a basketball fan, but he'll watch it when it's on. He's a Packers fan from way back with Bart Starr and Jim Taylor, Nitschke, Kramer, McGee, Forrest Gregg, Fuzzy Thurston. He knows that the Green Bay Packers were founded on August 11th, 1919, by former high school football rivals Early Curly Lambeau and George Whitney Calhoun. Lambeau solicited funds for uniforms from his employer, the Indian Packing Company. He was given $500 for uniforms and equipment on the condition that the team be sponsored, named for a sponsor. Today, Green Bay Packers is the oldest team name still used in the NFL, both by its nickname and by virtue of remaining in its original city. Well, Charlie fell asleep before the Heat beat the Thunder with his jelly glass in his lap, trying to remember the rest of the Green Bay offensive line. The next morning, Charlie Johnson slumped in his chair, letting his right hand dangle with the clicker. He watched out the window and looked back at the television, at the silent laughter of his family at the playground. He'd seen this home movie so many times, he just kept it on mute. He knew all the words. He just wanted to see the faces. On his legs, he balanced a yellow legal pad and pen. He took a break from writing for a while and again looked out the window, falling again for the trick his mind played on him that he would see anything new. Ronald Reagan grinned down from a photograph on the wall that June had brought home on the advent of Charlie's retirement from the newspaper. "They're coming to take me away, ha-ha." The line stuck in his head, though he hated it. He dreamed it last night and awoke with it ricocheting inside his skull like a motorized racquetball. Charlie mentally checked his things in the small bag by the door, clean socks, underwear, T-shirts for sleeping, no holes. June would have insisted. Charlie's niece was coming over to pick him up. The family and the town had surmised from his letters to the editor that he needed a checkup at the Mount Liberty State Hospital. Charlie had agreed. He didn't want to be crazy any less than they wanted him to stop writing letters.
A door slammed. Charlie looked at the TV screen and saw it was Fuzz. Then to the street, saw a pickup pulled up in front. "So, this is how it's going to be." Charlie saw his niece striding up the walk. He went to meet her. She saw the bag. "You're all ready." "Yeah." "Jenny," proclaimed the white script stitching on her breast pocket. She grabbed the bag, pushed the door open for Charlie, waiting for him to check the burners, taps, doors, thermostat, cat's food. He clicked the TV off, tossed the changer into his chair, let it lie when it bounced off the yellow pad to the floor. He pulled the front curtain closed. "Thanks," he said, walking past Jenny. He stopped in the doorway, turned around, looked into what was his home. He sighed. His mouth quaked and his eyes became moist.
Just a minute, guys. Now they're saying you can find WWYZ Local TV Community Public Access of Grover's Mills on YouTube. No confirmation of that as of yet, but that's what they're saying.
Charlie turned and walked outside, stopping to straighten again the little green, white, and red flag. He marched down the steps with his head down, a fugitive finally captured. "Observation, right?" Jenny asked as she followed. "That's what they say," said Charlie as he sat, balled his leg inside with his hand and pulled the passenger door shut. "Just tests, I guess." As they took off, he remembered the letter he'd just finished on the yellow pad. He looked at Jenny and decided against asking her to go back to get it and drop it off at the paper. Maybe later. He read it once more in his head, checking for errors and insanity. "Dear editor, there's a church that I pass oftentimes when I go for drives in the country when the town gets to be too much. For some reason, I expect the country to be different. It fools me every time. There's this church and a nice lawn and a flag and one of those glass enclosed signs. You know, it tells when the services are, gives a little quip for the week. Some churches change them often. Some leave the same one up all season. Maybe because it's too cold or too hot to stand out there and try to get those magnetic letters to stick. Maybe. Anyway, you know, they could say so much with those things, but they don't. They stay uber patriotic and American, which is to say not very Christian, which is depressing, disheartening, defeating, disappointing. I wonder if the people who go to church here feel the same. I wonder if they drive to town just to see if there's anything different anywhere.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty.
This just in from Mars and Grover's Mills. Hey, how's it going? Seems that there was no threat after all. Never mind. Go about your day. Have a good day and a great tomorrow. Hey, don't text and drive. Always use a designated driver. Stay on the same page. Take it to the next level, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO journalists are about average.
We'd like to thank you for joining us for the New American Dream Radio Show. Hope you'll come back again. Same time, same place next week. Be sure to stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our producer, Lena Sanek. He's always got an interesting show for you. We'd like to thank our sponsors, worldnewstrust.com, thespiritualun.org, and June2508.com. Take a look at all three of those websites. Tell them we sent you. Just look around. They're not fun places to visit, good places to visit. Thanks again to all of you. And thank you, Mike, and have a good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
Oh.